This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As mentioned, we are exploring the topic of vernacular schools for our 101 series this month. So for the rest of this week, we're going to be speaking with different guests to better understand this very complex, often politicized, often kind of really blown out of proportion issue, to understand it from different perspectives.
And it's always a touchy topic. It's one of those debates that never go away. There's persistent argument from both sides of the fence on whether or not we should keep vernacular schools or have a single school system. Of course, it often comes up as a debate on whether vernacular schools promote or prevent unity among different races.
We'll start first with from the point of view of the employers first, because this is one of the factors that matters the most. Since a lot of how your educational background shapes how you are viewed by a future employee.
So whenever we talk about education in general, or when it veers towards vernacular schools in particular, we hear anecdotes of how educational background does shape an employee in terms of your values, your worldview, even aptitude when it comes to different areas. And this, you know, kind of rides both positive and negative depending. So we're going to be exploring this in some depth today with a recruitment expert. But we do want to hear from you as well. If you're an employer with thoughts on the issue, if you're a former vernacular school student, or you just have thoughts in general, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We're now crossing over to Avinash Kumar from Monroe Consulting Group. Avinash, thanks so much for joining us today. As you mentioned, there's the narrative that employees with a vernacular education background may differ from employees who attended other kinds of schooling when it comes to areas like communication skills, worldview, work ethics, and so on. Is this something you've noticed as well?
The debate of vernacular school position is actually far more important than just focusing on the language aspect alone. Schools are actually meant to create a kind of environment or a platform for students to build their interpersonal skills, which is further enhanced when they go to universities and eventually coming to the workforce. Taking for an example, I actually graduated from a scholar or from a national school or a scholar kebangsaan at a primary level. And then later on, in my secondary school, I actually attended a Chinese majority school. Now, just reflecting back myself personally, I can say both offered me a very different set of experience or exposure that later actually influenced my skill sets, such as communication, relationship management, and most importantly, the one that you mentioned, work ethics. In based on statistics or based on the observation alone, vernacular schools tend to create a more competitive and intense environment than a national school, which more emphasizes on harmony, growth, and etc. However, on the contrast, a national school actually prepares for a more diversified workforce than the vernacular school itself. However, I mean, the bigger picture at the end of the day is that the purpose of schools has always been about social engineering and not education alone. Despite the different upbringing on both systems, I believe both actually contributes to the richness in the Malaysian workforce.
Can you tell us a bit more about your experience growing up in both a national school and a vernacular school, how it shaped you until today at the workplace?
One thing that actually what the biggest lesson I actually learned was that the cultural difference, and also the fact that the workplace is going to be very diverse, and not only in terms of this one, but in terms of minds and also the different personalities that I was about to meet. One thing that I think the schools taught me was that how do I deal with people, that actually eventually pushed me to take up a role or take up an opportunity within people management or relationship management and etc. I want to re-quote what I mentioned earlier, which I mentioned the differences actually upbringing both systems actually contribute to the richness of both workforce. So that applied in my case very well.
Right, and have you observed other employers perceiving these sorts of differences as well?
I mean, just to elaborate on that, I mean, when it comes to the employment, this plays a little role. However, I wouldn't say this is completely being ignored. I've actually had clients who inform me that they do not want a shortlist candidate from Chinese schools due to previous hiring gone wrong or based on a certain experience that it did not work well, especially when we are dealing with culturals. Looking at how Malaysia is, looking at where we are progressing with the involvement of various neighboring countries such as China into our economy, a common misconception is that the language command plays a key role, but that's not all that's being assessed. But the capacity of being able to work well with a diverse workforce and understanding the cultural differences is often overlooked. From a recruiter point of view, communication is crucial for any candidate or talent when it comes to pitching themselves. Statistically, graduates from national schools is believed to be higher command towards English and Bahasa than a vernacular school, which more emphasized towards the importance of mother tongue. However, the excess of character, the judgment of character does not fully rely upon which schools the graduate actually comes from, but the qualities they actually picked from each system, because regardless it's a national school or a vernacular school, both teaches different qualities that actually contributes towards them being resourceful and being a positive workforce.
How can schools, whether they are national or vernacular, better prepare students for the workplace?
It's a very interesting way how we can look at this, because despite me graduating or coming already from the school systems, I still have certain in touch, especially seeing my younger cousins or certain family members still involved in the school system. And one thing I did pick is the school systems these days should be revised based on industrial revolutions or how the global workforce is actually changing. I believe most of the time schools are chasing after the progress in economy and new industries. In fact, schools should be the reflection of how the future industry should look like, and the school should be the model for future schoolings, because the role of a school is to create the workforce for the next 5-10 years to come, where looking at the current pace, the economy is always changing. I recently actually came across this school in Sendayan, SJKT Sendayan. It's a vernacular school, Tamil school, where I see one very unique practice where they get the involvement of industry experts into the school's software system building, which involves like advising the educators of what the future skills is going to be needed and how the future job market is going to be. I mean, these schools actually promote a lot of holistic growth, emphasize towards the English and Bahasa language, at the spiritual good, and at the same time as well future skills. I mean, perfect example is that they actually right now they are looking into how they can actually integrate e-payment into the school system itself for the students to actually start understanding how this works and for them to use it within the school. And e-payment is something that's actually growing in the Malaysian market. So this is where I think schools should be the bench for the future job market, and for that, the schools need to adapt to it and model based on a future schooling system.
Okay, so you made it pretty clear that you're all for diversity in the educational background at the workplace. So what would you say to employers who are maybe hesitant about introducing that diversity?
One thing that they feel realize here is that diversity in workplace starts with diversity in education. We need our leaders in every industrial to represent the diversity of this nation, and especially a multiracial country. Diverse values and beliefs at the table where decisions are made bring the interests of everyone to the table. Better representation, the experience of different groups, and also the results in more thoughtful, comprehensive solutions to complex social problems. I think difference in educational background provide different in thinking and problem solving as well. And this is seen how in many think tanks or many teams behind the multinational companies are actually built around a group of seasoned leaders from different backgrounds, from different experience, different industries, and etc. And I think school and difference education must be taken into account as well.
Avinash, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Avinash Kumar from Monroe Consulting Group talking about how, I guess, from the employer's perspective, vernacular schools and vernacular school graduates are viewed. We would like to hear from you, whether you are speaking as an employer, whether you're just talking to us as somebody who went to a vernacular school, or you just have thoughts on the matter. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be spending the rest of this week in the 7 o'clock hour looking at vernacular schools from different angles. Tomorrow we'll be taking a look at the history and evolution of Chinese schools, so do tune in for that. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:21 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we are doing the first of this week's week-long series on vernacular schools. We're doing a 101 where we look at different aspects of this really often highly contested topic. And today we're looking at it specifically from the point of view of employers, right? How do employers view folks who come from a vernacular schooling background? In the meantime, we do have this message here from Kamal, who says, I wanted to send my son to Mandarin school because I feel you need to know Mandarin to survive in Malaysia. But my son chose to learn Mandarin in his early preschool and insisted to join DLP at Sekolah Kebangsaan. I think it's a good move that he joined that, as he mixed well with others now. Sadly, not even one Chinese boy joined his school. Where are we heading in terms of our education system? There should be one system that teaches all language and subjects instead of multilingual schools in Malaysia.
I think there is still some value in our current schooling system, and I think the reason why vernacular schools are still a thing is simply because there are a lot of gaps that exist in our society, whether it's like the unfamiliarity or like slight discomfort perhaps of missing out on an education that they feel might be the best for the child. In that case, if it's like a Tamil-based education, if it's a Chinese-based education.
We do have Vini in the meantime on the line. Vini, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi. So I wanted to give a couple of perspectives. A full disclaimer, my mum was a headmistress in a Tamil school, a couple of Tamil schools. And my eldest and I went to a convent school, but my younger siblings, actually went to a Tamil school. So I think to give a perspective on that, so the outcome, and we all went to school in the 80s, we did our primary education in the 80s, so I think the outcome is very different from the outcome you're seeing right now. Because we spoke a lot of English at home, and I think, my parents were very invested in us getting a holistic education. I can speak good Tamil, and my siblings can speak very good English. However, I think that time has passed, right? As an employer right now, I see a lot of them who actually come from vernacular schools having difficulty grasping and mastering the English language, especially. So then it translates to other sorts of difficulty, right? Preparing reports and things like that, understanding technical documents. So I think this is where, we cannot do a disservice to our future generation. What we really need to do is not debate about vernacular school or whatever. It's just providing access to good quality education. And what is good quality education, right?
Well, I mean, Vini, I was curious about whether or not, you said earlier that times have changed from, when you went to school and what you're seeing now. And do you put that down solely to quality?
I think so. I think it's quality, and I think it's a whole host of different things, right? So, back in the day, you had the convent school. I think that was really a best, it was the best place, I think, and that's where I learned a lot about different cultures. It was a bit of, it's where, friendships were formed. And I'm not just reminiscing, and I think, that was, but I think it really served a purpose. And I could also speak, as I said, good Tamil. And in fact, growing up, when we went to this new school, we didn't have Tamil. My parents even let us learn Jawi, right? So I could read and write Jawi because, Tamil was not an option. I think that, but, you know, what is, how is it relevant now, right? So really, we should find a system where we're producing, or we're giving everyone an equal opportunity to really find their best potential. And I think, are vernacular schools the right, you know, the right vehicle to do this? Or should it be national schools, right?
Mm. Right.
So for me, I think the key outcome we want is really, you know, how are we, we should not do a disservice to our younger generation, as I said before. I mean, the key thing is giving everyone equal opportunity to be the best version of themselves and to provide quality education, right? So that we, they're all prepared.
Vini, thank you very much.
Vini, thank you so much for your call. I think we unfortunately just kind of cut you off there. But I do feel that we understood her point, which is that ultimately, what makes for an equal playing field? What makes for the best possible start? You know, and I can't help but think that a lot of it comes down to, I mean, when Vini was describing that her multilingual upbringing, I was just so envious. There's so many languages that she's got. And I do think that a lot of it comes down to preparing your kids for the ability also to absorb different languages and to learn in those languages. And considering that we do all come to, well, Bahasa and English, let's just go with the languages that often get tussled over when it comes to science and maths. I mean, when we do all come to Bahasa and English, I think at different learning points, and trying to create some sort of equal ground for everybody from the very start would go a long way towards creating that sense of potential.
And we did talk about languages last week, and yes, and I brought up the point that when it comes to languages, it's important to practice it with people at home or with your friends around you. So it's not necessarily just about what kind of school you went to. It's also how you practice what you've learned.
Yeah, because Vini mentioned that, you know, at home, her parents made a point of speaking to their children in, you know, in English and in ensuring that there is that base of good English. And I don't think there's any point trying to debate over which language has primacy, right? It's really about trying to ensure that everybody has the capacity to learn in the language of instruction up until the highest point of education that they can possibly reach.
That was such an interesting point to me also, that perhaps our focus has been a bit skewed in the sense that, okay, if we really want to move away from vernacular schools, we have to have this one singular school that can actually provide equal benefits to all. Like, you know, just because right now you don't go to Mandarin, you don't go to SGKC, that you are unable or you don't have the opportunity, the economic opportunity sometimes, to be able to pick up Mandarin, which in later in life would prove to be such a useful tool in employment.
Both Cameron Nizam as well as as well as another listener are saying similar things. It's not about the school being vernacular or not. The key for integration is that all races are in the same school so that they can integrate. Language can always be optional, different options made available, I mean. Another listener saying all vernacular schools should be allowed only on a primary level. At secondary, all pupils should learn at Sekolah Menengah Kebangsaan for national unity. Send your thoughts through. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are also going to be headed after this to Skip Intro, where we tell you just all the latest things from Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. So stay tuned for that. That's coming your way after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.